Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And with me today is Jill Jennett. Now, Jill is a vibrant change maker and a connector of people. You're going to love this conversation with Jill. Jill and I met a few weeks ago and we instantly connected and knew that we had to do some work together, didn't we, Jill?
Yes, absolutely.
Jill has a life path as a spiritual messenger and has taken on the role of gathering the tribe. So through that, she is the founder and president of the Red Tent Australia, which is a national non-profit community enterprise. Now, Jill's goal is to create red tents all over the country so that women have a circle of support around them. The Red Tent movement is worldwide one and is needed now more than ever as women awaken their purpose and power. So this is something that's been going on in other countries for a while then, Jill?
Yeah, well, the book, The Red Tent, was written in 1997, which when I first read it, actually, as soon as it first came out. And I think that women have been gathering in red tents and in circles for longer than we haven't. So I think it's more of a remembering and, we're just gathering again.
Wow. Okay. That's 20 years ago. That's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's a book, and I'll ask you more about that, about the book. So you believe in our society today that there is no formal acknowledgement or recognition for feminine divinity, and it's still thought to be underground alternative movement and somewhat threatening to the mainstream. Yes, I agree with that because I see that in corporate all the time.
Yeah.
And women I deal with.
And I do think it's changing, but it's pretty old school. It's really it's installed in the boardrooms that the women are silly and the women are emotional and not we can't give them too much responsibility because they might fall apart.
We're going to definitely talk about that one. So you want to break down that falsehood and illusions that are too often found in our culture and bring healing into the light.
Yes.
And you see one way of doing this is through having a red tent in every neighbourhood.
Absolutely. And I like to substitute the word healing for freedom because, you know, the ties that bind us, if we can just, let go and be who we're meant to be, then healing will occur. But sometimes the word healing may indicate sickness or brokenness, and that's not the case.
No. Okay, I'm writing that down because that's something else I want to cover is that word freedom as well, because I think that's one of the things that I know with the women that I work with is that sense of being free to be yourself, being free to say what you want to say and how you want to say.
A sovereign being.
Yeah, excellent. Now, part of that is that you think that by remembering and harnessing their ancestral wisdom and reintroducing the old ways is a way forward.
Yeah, and when I say the old ways, I mean really, really, really old, before patriarchy, before advertising. And I was just having a conversation about, you know, the 1950s and introduction of TVs into the houses and how this set us all up for competition and depression because we were looking at these images thinking, I am not that. Not that I was around in the 1950s, but you can see these patterns that have been formed through the generations.
Agree. And there's that perception of that you had to reach a particular standard and you had to and look, it's not much change today, maybe a little bit more relaxed, but it's still that perception of women.
Absolutely. All you have to do is look at Instagram or Facebook to feel pretty crappy about yourself.
And I did a Facebook Live just before we came on just to say it's my birthday today too, Jill.
Happy birthday, Janine.
Thank you very much. And I put it up to say that I was having a great day and what had happened and that I was interviewing you. And I'm one of those things with Facebook Live, it's I take crappy photos. That's not just a judgment. I do take terrible photos.
I don't agree.
And my family takes amazing photos. And so you really hesitate doing that sort of thing and doing Facebook Live. But it was just fun and being able to be relaxed. And, you know, I coach in professional presenting, and maybe I didn't do it as professional as I would normally do it, but it's meant to be relaxed and fun and to be able to be myself without a judgment on it, which is, I'm getting a little bit more used to that with the Facebook Live, because it certainly is.
I haven't done the Facebook Live yet, so you're brave. I think once it's out there, you can't take it back, can you?
No, I'm sometimes
afraid of what I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's part of it too, thinking ahead. And as you see people's names come up, but that's part of what, you know, what you want to do is to help women remove those self-imposed masks. And that's what I sort of see, is when we're not game enough to do those sort of things, sometimes that is a mask that we've got up in society. And then if we get it wrong or do something that, you know, is not quite in our mind perfect, then we place that judgment. So
absolutely,
rather than nurturing and supporting ourselves.
Well, and quite often we're operating, it's just like, you know, I've got a teacher that says that we're all like computers, but we've got different operating systems. And sometimes our operating systems, or, you know, subconscious, are just what's been modeled for us. And if we grew up with either a dominating, you know, or a domineering mother, or a martyr as a mother, then when we feel pressured or squeezed or stressed, then we will probably revert back to that. And that'll happen again and again and again until we, you know, I always say, flick the light on in the dark room and go, oh, okay, that's what's happening. How do I change that? And then, and we start operating on a different system.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm sure you do with the Red 10 stuff, is recognizing that you can choose a different system to operate on as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. It's a process. Everything's a process.
Yeah, and what I also love that you say, that, you know, from doing this, that we can start to heal the earth by healing ourselves.
Yeah,
which is, it is quite amazing, isn't it, that, you know, one person at a time makes a difference in this world.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one by one by one, we will start to make a difference when more people, not just women, but everybody on this planet, start to work. And it's a whole different vibration that you can start. And, you know, I tend to talk in terms of energy a lot, so I'm not sure if your listeners are okay with that. So I'm a little bit woo-woo. In fact, I'm a lot woo-woo.
No.
And I love it.
This is an open, guaranteed woo-woo podcast interview.
Yay.
Because, look, whatever I have, I interview on a whole lot of different topics, whether it bookkeeping or styling or domestic violence, dating, tantra sex, whatever it is. So whatever the expert is expert in at during the interview, then that's what we discuss.
Oh, because fabulous. My tribe
is a variety of things that we come across in everyday life, and we don't always, you know, have somebody that we can go, you know what, I was thinking that, I was wondering that. That's a good idea, no matter what it is, you know. So, yeah, this for the next hour, plenty of woo-woo, that's fine.
Bring it on. Yay. All righty then.
Now your belief, I love asking people what they believe. So you want everyone to know that belonging to a community should not be about conforming or giving away your power, that it should be about a purposeful being who is able to support and nurture others while receiving and support and nurturing themselves.
Mm.
That is just a great space to be in, it, isn't it? That you can actually, that the more you can help others, that you can do that without giving away your power, and to be able to nurture yourself in the same time.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I've got that down pat, because I certainly do fall into, you know, overgiving. I think women do that a lot. But I have a phrase that another, I've got so many amazing mentors and teachers that have crossed my path. And I remember one of them saying, if you can't do what you have been asked to do with the joy of a toddler feeding hungry ducks, then don't do it. Isn't it great? You can just imagine, I've got a four-year-old, so feeding hungry ducks is actual, you know, we do that very regularly, and I see that joy, and I think, you know, he's really, really loving this. So if a volunteer, because we are a volunteer-run organization, if a volunteer can't do what is asked of them with the joy of feeding hungry ducks, then they shouldn't do it, because the energy of that, of being, you know, obligated, or, you know, feel like they have to do something, is just going to go again and again in the whole organisation, and that doesn't move us forward at all.
No, exactly right. And that's so much more delicate and nicer way of putting it, because I often talk about the word should, you know, that brings up a lot of anxiety when people use that word.
Yeah, we should all over ourselves.
That's it. And I try to avoid or recognize if I use it myself, and then figure out whether I actually want to do it or not, rather than should do it, because it just makes the whole experience quite differently when you choose to do it and want to do it, as opposed to should do it.
And we are, you know, another thing I talk about all the time is being of service. And I do believe that we are here to be of service to each other. But in terms of giving away more than we're receiving, there's got to be a huge balance there. There can't be out of balance. Otherwise, you can't give from an empty vessel. And when we train our facilitators to operate the red tents, that's actually the first module of the facilitator training, is called fill your cup. You have to fill your cup first. And the intention behind that training module is for us as the organization to find out what they want so we can help them get it, because everybody has an agenda. That's just human nature. But if we know about what their agenda is, and there's no secrecy or underhandedness, then we can help them achieve it, and everybody can sort of get what they want.
No, and that's something that I've always had a great belief in, and my sons are in their 30s now, but I've done that sort of all the way through. I don't know when I recognized and did it, but it just recognized that if I'm fit and healthy, if I eat nutritionally well, if I make sure my bank balance is of a, you know, reasonable level, if I fill myself up with positivity, have great people around me who support me and create that positive mindset, boy, I've been able to step in and help my sons in situations where they've just needed somebody to really step up for them, whether physically, financially, emotionally, or all three, as you do as a parent. But it hasn't taken from me. I've been able to be there for that resource. And that's why, and I know, and other people have been challenged by it, it's why I put myself first.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not modeled very often. Well, I mean, just speaking from my own experience, I haven't seen it modeled very often by my mother's generation. They did. They overgave and they became martyrs. And it was a generational thing that the women just, you know, they call it the burnt chop syndrome. Everybody else gets the good cut of meat, and the mum gets the burnt chop.
Yes, yes. I would agree with that. Mm. Yeah, not in our house. We fight over the leg of lamb. What is that part of the leg? So I actually buy extra now because
there you go. That's a solution. Yes.
Now, why did you start the red tent? And tell me a little bit about it. We've touched on it, but I'd like to listen to learn a bit more.
Well, I had I came to Australia 6 years ago, and I didn't really know anybody. I knew my husband, obviously, and my kids, and I had my best friend since I was 5 years old. Lives here in Brisbane, but she's about an hour away, so I didn't get to see her very often. But I was lonely, and I had all these kids, and I just needed to get out of the house for a little bit, I think, and to not go insane. And I knew that because I had run women's circles in America, I knew what I didn't want. And I remember the last circle that I went to for a group in America, they started talking about the labels on their handbags and their shoes and the square footage of their house all that sort of stuff. And I just went, I'm not really into that. I think I want to talk more about being part of the solution, maybe not part of the consumer issues that are plagued in this society. And so I knew that I wanted to start doing more yoga and eating healthier and meditation and all that sort of stuff. So I started a yoga teacher training course and met some really lovely women there. And I had been following a woman called Tanishka, The Moon Woman is her Facebook page, and she put up a Red Tent Facilitator training course. And this all happened within about 1 week that I said it, and then it happened, and then, you know, abracadabra. So it is. I did the, it was a 6 week training, facilitator training course online. And I was pregnant at the time. And so then I hung a poster up at the Ray Organics in Cleveland and said, yep, we'll come along to this red tent. And next minute, 27 women walked through the door.
Just from one poster, Jill.
we didn't have the Facebook or website sussed yet. Well, we may have had a Facebook page, but it was very, very basic stuff. Yeah, definitely. There was a need there, and enough people saw it, and people from the yoga teacher course came, and yeah, so the word got out, and basically it just started from that was May of 2013. So I had a 2-week-old baby strapped to me because I was still pregnant. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll plan it for about a month or so after he's born. But then, of course, my pregnancy kept going. And I was, oh, gosh, when am I ever going to have this baby? So he was only 14 days old at the first circle. And he's just had his fourth birthday in March. So,
oh, terrific. Yeah, oh, that's and that just even having just, you know, given birth and having a baby, that would have brought an incredible amount of feminine energy into the space just from that, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was April. It was April 2013. And so, yeah, so I just kept going, and I probably could have stopped and quit and run away and hid under the duvet maybe about 1,000, maybe 2,000 times. Mm-hmm. but, yeah, there was something that I just kept going, and I loved it, and I still do love it. And what was happening was that I was seeing women come into the red tent, and it was a safe space for them to just talk about whatever was going on for them, and that they knew that it wouldn't be repeated outside of those doors.
That's amazing. That doesn't happen a lot. Look, even when we've got wonderful friends, you know, that we're close to, it's sometimes, and it's hard to talk to friends about things. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's somebody that you know that you're not going to be judged from, that don't know your history, that so they don't know the people that you're speaking about as well.
Absolutely.
And yourself, it does make a difference, doesn't it? It's easier to do sometimes.
Well, there's some sort of magic that happens in the red tent that we do just talk about ourselves. We don't talk about, you know, the next door neighbor or the kids or the partners, and unless that would be okay for them to be in the room. You can't share somebody else's story. But the fact that we offer this platform, it's actually really very, very simple concept, but like you said, it's not really very common anywhere. And there are some rules around it that, of course, if you see somebody after the circle, you don't go, and how are you doing with whatever the issue was that they shared at that time? And we're not therapy. We don't offer anybody any solutions or suggestions or, you know, what you need to do is, unless they ask for it. Then, of course, you know, I'm a therapist, and we have lots of trained counsellors, and we have lots of people who we can refer to, but that's not the place for it. The red tent is not therapy. It's completely different to that.
So is it I've just got to ask the question, is it actually a red tent?
Well, that's the goal. At the moment, it's, you know, we've got yoga halls and Boy Scout halls and community buildings, and Redlands Council has just given us a lease on a hall that was an old Baptist church. So it has a red roof, but it's not a red tent. But, yeah, no, the dream is to have these branches of the red tent in yurts, which is a Mongolian roundhouse. And we do have the Byron Bay Red Tent is held in a beautiful yurt at the Byron Temple, and it's just breathtakingly gorgeous when you walk in to be in a round room that's just, you know, the hushed tones, and you just instantly feel that you are at home. You just want to lay down and relax.
And look, at Byron, that sort of just gives off that energy anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So why is it called a red tent?
Well, in the book, The Red Tent by Anita Diamond, the women, now this is a slice of what may have happened in the Bible, but that wasn't in the Bible. And so it would be like an Old Testament story of, Jacob, and he had four wives, and he had all those sons. Remember the story of Joseph in the Technicolor dream coat?
Yes.
So that was one of his sons. Now, and this is a story of a girl that he had a daughter and her name was Dina or Dinah. And this is her story of being raised by these women. And so the women would go into the red tent, and this is, you know, they were living in animal skins, to have their babies and to learn how to preserve food and make remedies and learn all sorts of things, anything that was secret women's business. And they would go in there also to menstruate. And so this communal living, this is how they learned. They didn't write things down. They just learned through telling the stories. And it was the place where they would feel safe. And so, the concept of the red tent would be lovely if we did have tents and maybe a little cold in the winter. But it's more of just the idea of reminiscent of that book,
Okay, oh, that'll be an interesting read as well.
Oh, it's fabulous. Make sure you don't have anything else to do. Start it on a Friday afternoon because you won't put it down. It's a great book.
Won't put it down? Okay.
Yeah, there's a mini-series
Who was the author of that again? I just want to write that
down. Anita Diamond.
Yes? Mm. No, Anita Diamond, okay. Mm-hmm. I'll look that up. Yeah. That's great. I'm a great listener to books because I tend to be driving an awful lot. Yeah. And I'm always I'm not like you with six children, Jill. Congratulations. And five of them being teenagers. I really do hold my hat out to you. Yeah. But so I'm in the car mostly by myself. And so I did listen to everything. So I'm going to see if I can get that as an audiobook. And
it's actually on Netflix as a miniseries now too. They came out with it a couple of years ago on the Lifetime television channel in America. It's a two-part miniseries. And it's quite true to the book. Like I've really enjoyed it.
Okay.
That's a shortcut to finding out about it too.
I'll keep an eye on that.
Really,
I love that you've told me that the red tent, there's no agenda, no pressure, no judgment, no conditions, just connections. And then you've got, what a wonderful feeling. Mm. And look, that no judgment, no pressure, no conditions, do the women, is it magical? Do they walk in and go, they stop doing it to themselves, or is that just the external? Because I know we can say, we can do that going, right, of course I'm not going to judge anybody. I want to build connections. It's great that there's no conditions. We can, just have a great time. But that self-judgment and that's a different space, isn't it?
Well, it does. Like I said, it doesn't happen instantly. And I think women who are ready for this sort of, I'll call it work, because it's not, it doesn't just happen easily. It does take personal check-ins, and you do have to catch yourself again and again and again. It's not that we're all perfect and walking around like Zen Buddhists. But when you do take the time to set the intention. And so we have a thing that the facilitators all do whenever we come together in the purpose of the red tent. So if there's, two or three of us or more, that we set an intention for the conversation or the event or the time together. And the intention can be anything from, seeking some knowledge or relaxing or taking a break from the everyday world or forming a bond or a connection with our sisters or whatever. But the reason we set an intention is so that we can stay sort of on topic, because women tend to talk a lot, and we talk in circles and we talk about this, that and the other. And before you know it, we're talking about somebody that's not there, or we're talking about a story that's not ours or something that happened in the past, and we're regurgitating, stuff that should be put to rest. And then before you know it, gossip creeps in. And gossip is corrosive. It's really it's horrible and it's divisive. And we have a policy around it. Is it there 100% of the time that this policy is in place? I hope so, but I can't guarantee it, We're a member-based organization, and it does take monitoring. Because before you know it, secret stuff happens and people are talking about people, and it cannot happen. It really cannot happen. Mm-hmm. Because women, for hundreds of years now, well, not even hundreds, but maybe definitely in the last 100 years, have loved nothing more than to tear each other down.
I don't think it's just in the last 100 years at all. I think it's been going on
since the beginning of time,
of time. Yeah. I think we put anybody in competition with each other, whether it's competing for food or competing for the strongest man in the village or what it is. There's that.
Absolutely. Yes. And so my best friend, she says to me, what you're trying to do is not normal. You know that. I said, yeah, I know. There's, you know, she says, it's path A and path B. Path A is what you're, you know, trying to make people responsible for their behaviors and checking in and, you know, higher cause and being good and all the rest of it. Path B is sit on the couch and eat Doritos and watching TV and blaming everybody else for all the mistakes and, you know, not taking responsibility for anything that's happening in your life. She said, most people, path B all the way.
And that's one of the things that I come across. And I think Oprah is one of the proponents of saying, you know, where luck comes from, you know, it's good management and you know, all the hard work that's gone before it. It's, and from sitting in front of the lounge, that's definitely not going to happen, is it?
Nope.
No. Now, you also train, as you said, train facilitators. So how many of the tents have you got running at the moment?
Well, altogether we've opened 22. We're looking for facilitators. Thank you. It's been a bit. So we've been a non-profit for not quite 2 years. So this time last year we had 6 branches in operation, and then we had our annual retreat, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks. And from that we had 100 women come to the retreat, and the word just spread. And so there was lots and lots of women that wanted to come to the training and open branches all over the place. So, yeah, we're in Greater Queensland and New South Wales now. Few of the branches are looking for facilitators too. So we've got an opening at Toowoomba and one at Mullaney, and we're looking for help at Gold Coast South if any of your listeners would love to come on board and come to the facilitator training. We are going to be running that again in the beginning of July.
Fantastic. That's just, you know, I really do congratulate you. So you're onto something that's obviously really, really needed in the community. And, you know, by numbers like that within 2 years, it's testimony to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been hard work, and I think that probably now what we're going to do is not open a whole lot more tents in Queensland, but we're moving down to New South Wales. So we run the facilitator training in 4 modules. We do 1 and 2 in a weekend, and then we take a break of 3 months, and then, you know, we can open some tents in those 3 months with the people that have been through 1 and 2. 1 and 2 is a prerequisite that you have to attend to be able to open a tent. And then they come back and they do modules 3 and 4. And so in that time, there's, of course, lots of questions that come up. And then once they're fully trained, then, you know, we can support them to open their red tent. So we've got a bunch of red tents opening in New South Wales in the next few months as well.
Fantastic. So what are the main keys of a successful facilitator?
Resilience. Number one is resilience.
That's a good one with anything, isn't it? But
yeah, and resourcefulness, definitely, because you become a public person, and you have to have firm boundaries, because and we are looking now, these women that are starting to become facilitators, who they were when they first came in, they are growing and changing, and then, you know, seeing the possibilities and actually treating this like a business. And so there's no limit, you know, to we offer, because we are a member-based organization, we say that, you know, it's minimum 1 event per month, and that's fine. 1 event is enough. But if they want to, they can run workshops and they can run all sorts of different programs. And, you know, we've got programs and workshops and all sorts of things written. We've got lots of fabulous ideas. And the sky's the limit, really, as long as, you know, they don't burn themselves out. And we like to have 3 trained facilitators at each branch.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not just one reliant on one person. That makes a lot of sense then.
Yeah. I tried that route. And I think that writing the facilitator training course, it was really just based on all of my, shall we say, mistakes or short-sightedness.
That's because, one of the best ways to learn.
Yeah. Doing things by yourself is a recipe for burnout.
And I imagine that also, as well as resilience, that just that compassion as well, that would be
absolutely,
without being, you know, too much of a giver, but not allowing people to take, but just having that sense of compassion and being real, I would assume, would be
Yeah, absolutely. They have to be, because people won't, if you're not authentic and you're just reading, you know, we supply them with a handbook, and if you're just reading, you know, my words that have been written in the handbook, it's just like a show. It's not an actual connection, and authenticity, it screams. You just can see when someone's authentic, and if they're not, if they're reading a script, it's just, you can't really connect with them. It doesn't make people feel safe. It makes them feel like they're just watching something happen rather than being a part of it.
Yeah. So for, you know, the people, most of the people listening are in some form of business for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that, what do you see as some of the main problems that those women face in regard to, you know, what you do and what you, you know, your discussions with women in the tent?
Oh, well, time and time again, I see women that have got a fabulous business idea or product or service, and they're too scared to talk about it. They get nervous, and they don't want to take up someone's time or the space. And so they don't.
They need to talk to me then, don't they, Jill?
They do. Well, that's exactly why I think we're working together, Janine. I think it's meant to be. But yeah, giving them a platform. So we have a business membership. It's called our corporate membership, and what that is for like-minded businesses. Men and women can be corporate members, and we give them an opportunity to they give a blurb and a logo, and that logo goes on our website with a click through to their website. We give them a shout out on Facebook. We add them to a group where they can share business ideas, and if they've got a product that they sell, then, or service as well, then we have a marketplace, Red Tent Marketplace, and we have a Conscious Women's Business Red Tent, and that actual branch is mobile, so it goes around, and it's lunches that are run for business women, and it's a fabulous group of women run by Kerry Mercell, who is a businesswoman for a long time. She's just such a great speaker, and she really helps to motivate the women and find out what their business is all about. And she invites them one guest speaker per month, and who gets to share about their business. It's not networking. It's not, you know, let me shove my business card in your hand, whether you want it or not. It's more, how can we help you? How can we support you? And so, yeah, we really are trying to grow an alternative economy of businesses where, yeah, so if so, 'cause I get asked all the time for referrals, and it's really lovely to be able to refer somebody that I know and that is providing a great service to.
And that's one of the main things that, you know, the sales training I do is, why do people buy from you? Because they trust you. They see value in what you offer, and they trust you. And that building that up one-on-one in those sort of opportunities, that makes a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. Now, you said that, you know, that women are scared to talk about why do you see that? What do you think is the main thing that holds them back?
Well, you know, I guess, I don't know. There's a lot of things. I think it's the time that they haven't, maybe that it's about being a real balanced individual and having a well-rounded self-esteem as well, knowing what they have, and then you know, and you teach this so beautifully about that nobody else is you, that what you have is unique, and even if you are the, you know, 10th or 15th person that we've met today that's selling, you know, some similar product, people will connect with you personally. And so it's having that sense of self. I also think, and, you know, this is getting back to the question before, is that there's a real lack of affordable childcare in Australia. And so I talked about this the other day at an International Women's Day summit, that we really need to bring back the village in terms of looking after our kids in a group setting that's not so expensive, and or not so scary that you're leaving your kid with a stranger, that it's more of a village as well. And I'd really like to talk, not right today about that, but anybody that's listening, how we can do that, because that's something that I have seen that has held so many women back, that they're at home with their kids and they can't afford to take them to a childcare centre, or nor would they want them to be living them there.
And, yeah, I know I read some of your notes on that lack of affordable childcare, and that actually got me thinking about that village concept, which is very different than what we do now, where we just take them to a childcare centre and then we pick them up hours later. It's something definitely worthwhile considering as an alternative to, you know, our children's, where our children spend their time, yeah, and how we do that as mothers as well. The something else I know you've mentioned before is competition between women.
Mm.
To me, you know, I'm not in competition with anybody else. So there's other people that, and you touched on it with your story, but there's other people that do what I do. They do what they do. I do what I do, and I know what I'm good at. And, you know, but I see this all the time. And, and when they start to think they're in competition, it's that self-esteem that reduces, isn't it?
Absolutely. And taking each other down. And you know, I always, makes me sad. I mean, I guess sometimes you've got to go through these things, and you what is the saying? You've got to bleed to know, or something. You've got to bleed to understand that you're divine and that you have a soul and that there's a higher purpose. But this is the stuff that happens, and that we get cut down, and we get people coming in who are operating from an unconscious operating system with unfulfilled needs, and they compete, and you go, if you stand back, you go, sorry, I'm not playing that game. They don't know what to do next.
so, you know, and that you would be seeing this in the tents, because, you know, everyone's got a different reason or agenda for attending. Mm-hmm. And I know that the intent would be there to not do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting better.
They've been telling themselves for a long time. It's hard.
Absolutely. That people can sort of tell themselves and have this regurgitation of the version of their truth playing out in their, you know, this is who I am and this is what I do, when it's really they're operating from a completely different operating system. But I'm getting better at smelling the intentions of people as they come in. And it's interesting to see that, you know, and it's what I try to train the facilitators to do is to, you know, not make anything right or wrong. You know, this is just what's happening right now, and not playing into the game. And we've got a bit of a policy that happens around gossip, that if somebody comes to you and says, oh, Janine, have you talked to that Jill? She's so blah, 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 that the first thing, even if you did agree, you did find that Jill was that type of person, you'd say, that's not my experience, or I haven't experienced that before. The second thing you'd say is, I'm sorry that you've experienced that or you've been through that. And the third thing you'd say is, so what did you want me to do about it? And it sounds a bit clunky and uncomfortable at start. And of course, you know, you've got to make it sound like yours, but it stops it. That's what happens. It doesn't keep going. And we don't buy into that. Oh, yes, I agree. She is that way, isn't she? Yeah. So yeah, it's just got to stop.
I work in offices. Yeah. And it is. It's just something we've been trained to do. And I do work in office situations as well. And just recognizing that sometimes people, you know, people I find are often doing it to boost their prestige in a situation. If they can be the one that can control and talk about the others, then lead others away, then they're the one taking over. But in actual fact, when you really look at it and you don't play the game, they're the ones that are giving their power away, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, and the relationships that have built, and I remember seeing this at high school as well, that if two girls get together because they want to talk about the third girl, or they don't like the third girl, and those relationships are not authentic. They're never going to go to a deeper level because they've been built and based on something, you know, dark and shadow. And sometimes the shadow does win. You know, sometimes the darkness does win, but not for long. And I always say that whatever happens in the dark always comes to light. And it can be just an epiphany somewhere that somebody went, oh, I started that, or I said that, or that was me. And nothing actually has to change except that realization. And then all of a sudden, you know, energetically we put that out there, and then things will start to change as soon as we make these realizations and stop the patterns and stop the behavior.
We'd hope that we would get over it from being, you know, a 16-year-old doing it as opposed to a 46-year-old. It should be a different story, but
well,
sometimes it isn't.
Does it plays out again and again and again, because if the needs are not met, you know, and these patterns aren't fulfilled, you know, like something terrible or traumatic happens to you, it doesn't matter whether you're 16 or any age, that will set up a pattern, and it's like A plus B equals C. And so then the situation will change again and again, the names will change, but it'll just keep happening to this person if they don't realize or that need is not fulfilled. And it'll just keep repeating again and again and again. And then it'll be something that's happening to them rather than, you know, the universe reacting to what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's where, again, people become powerless because they think that an external force has control as opposed to them taking control of who Absolutely. They are and what they're doing.
It all comes down to our thinking. And that you know, I often say, please bring nutrient-rich thinking, because if we share those nutrient-rich and amazing thoughts, and sometimes it's just a whisper. And I love that when a woman comes into the Red Tent, she can be, you know, shy or too afraid to speak, but then she'll say something that's just pure gold and everybody in the room just, you know, that's their take home for the day.
And you know what? I love it because I'm an extrovert, and so you tend to be one that, you know, controls conversations. But I've learned, especially having done, you know, now 25 episodes of the podcast interviews, to listen much better. And the gems that I get that people who are often more introverted give away, if you're listening for them, then it really does, you know, the wonderful words of wisdom that they, because they tend to be listening more than talking, which means they learn a lot more than us that talk a lot.
Yeah, it's like the kids. I've got a 15-year-old daughter, and the gems that she comes up with, especially when we're driving in the car, all of a sudden she'll just say something and I'm almost like slam on the brakes, like, that is brilliant. She's very, very observant. She has been ever since she was a tiny little girl. And she would listen to the phone calls, but of course she was only hearing my side of the phone calls, so she'd assume a lot of things. But she watches now. She's been coming to the Red Tent since it started. And she doesn't come to everyone, you know, because if there's a more sort of adult, you know, if I don't want to put any issues onto a 15-year-old's ears that she is heavy, you know, heavy subjects, that's not responsible of me. But she loves coming to Red Tent, and she's our maiden ambassador. We gave her a title.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's lovely.
So yeah, she's observing all of these women owning their shit, really, you know, really stepping up and being powerful. And so now she is as well.
Yeah, that's a great learning for a 15-year-old. And considering the rest of your children is five males, then it's like having a daughter to be able to do that. I've just got daughter-in-laws, so I get that. Now, just three takeaway points for the people listening. Do you have any particular points you want to offer? You gave me some takeaway points. Do you want
Did
me
I?
To- sure. You? Because that was such great ideas.
Yeah, no, you tell me what they are because I can't remember what I wrote down,
Janine. One of them that you said was becoming vulnerable and building trust in yourself and other women is a key to growth.
Oh, that's so true, isn't it, though? You know, and sometimes it's really hard. And I was just talking today to my friend that knowing who to trust. Who do you trust? Yeah,
showing so that vulnerability. How do you figure that, Jill? How do you figure out?
Maybe I'm still learning. but I'm not shutting down my heart is another one that if you have been burnt and you have been betrayed and you have been, you know, gossiped about or hurt in any other way, don't shut down your heart.
No, and that's really very vital, is it? Because once you do, you're not open to those that will, you know, raise you up and bring you that joy and enlarge your heart if you've shut it down. So if you're not open to receiving, then you are going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine that you would say that we all need a circle to support us as well.
Yeah, and that circle can be as big or as small as needed. And a circle can actually just be two people. But finding somebody that is available to you emotionally to hear what's going on for you and not dumping it on, you know, the checkout chick at Woolies or people that aren't in a good space themselves. Being honest about whether you are available to hold space for somebody else as well.
Oh, I like that. Being honest just whether you're available to hear space for somebody as well. That's really critical, isn't it, that we need to, again, we talked about that a little bit earlier, that you are able, that you're full So you are able then to give space.
Yep, that's the one. And it's not possible all the time. I mean, if I'm tired, I'm hungry, or just, you know, really not in a good space, then I don't answer my phone. I don't, I'm not there. And, you know, my phone rings a lot, but I have to be present to be able to be there for somebody else. And if I'm not, then it's a disservice to them and to me.
Mm. Oh, I'm with you about getting hungry. I'm a shot. I'm hungry. That's my weakest point. I don't do that. I can do tired quite okay. It doesn't really change up much with me. But hungry? No. I sort of change into this devil monster or something. It just
hungry.
Yeah, I've been married for 37 years and with my husband a couple of years longer than that, so he knows now
if when to feed you
around or anything. You just feed her, you know.
My husband's the same. He's so fabulous like that. When I walked in the door before, we had about 10 or 15 minutes before you and I were going to talk, and I got in and there was a drink and something to eat on the table right there for me. I was like, oh, God, he's good.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, they're very handy, aren't they, when they're like that. And I know, so that's the first one is become, be vulnerable and build trust in yourself. And then the second point is that get a circle, find a circle, find that circle around you. But I think this one, I love this third takeaway point, which is so important. And I see this all the time where people do not ask for help and they see it as a sign of weakness rather than a sign of strength.
Yeah. And we see it a lot with our volunteers. I can do that. And they take on so much. And asking for help, it's, you know, there's books written about it. And I say it again and again and again to the facilitators, you know, if you can't do it with the joy of a toddler feeding hungry ducks, then don't do it. But ask for help.
Mm.
It's something that you're struggling with. Somebody could come in and 5 seconds later be done, and it would have taken you all day.
And I, one of the things that I say to people too, if you're not giving other people the opportunity to shine if you don't ask for help. And I ran a school fete many, many moons ago when the children were in primary school. And I, there was a little bit of noise in the background.
Sorry, that was my daughter just coming in and seeing if there was any food left in a bag.
No, Mum ate all that. That was fine. No, I ran the school fete, and I went up to somebody I knew had these amazing, beautiful gardens, lived on acreage, and I said to her, "Would you mind running the plant stall? You know, organise your people and get your helpers and everything." And she said to me, "No one has ever asked her before. No one had ever asked her to be able to assist with anything in the past." And she just felt so, it gave us so much confidence and so much belief in herself. And we've been friends since then. And it gave me the real realization that by delegating or asking for help, it just honors other people rather than thinking that you're the one that can do it all for everybody else instead.
Yeah. And at the end of every circle, we always ask for help if you'd like to become involved, or even if you just want to be the person that comes and helps us, you know, light the candles beginning of the circle, or if you can stick around and help us wash up the cups, you know, from our cups of tea, please help. But you know what? It took me about a year before I asked for help. And I was I was setting up and packing up by myself, and then I would be exhausted when I got home. Yeah. But there's nothing actually nicer than after everybody's left, you have a team of, you know, two or three people vacuuming and washing their cups. You put the music on, and it just seals the beautiful energy of the evening.
Yes.
When you've got help.
Yeah, yeah. And in all parts of our lives to know that, you know, there's other people out there that have got more skills in different fields than we have ourselves, to be able to ask them for help is
absolutely. And I just recently, we're organizing this great big retreat that's coming up in just a couple of weeks, and the help with organizing it has been overwhelming. Just recently, we've got a new vice president, Moana Thomas, who has come on board, and like this woman, I think she's an angel. I don't know where she's come from, but she's just helping with this.
I know Moana.
You know, oh yes, you probably do. Everybody knows Moana. She's a famous international movie star. But yes, she is just helping out with everything and just, yep, not a problem. I can do that. I can do this. And just, wow. So,
that's
yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So look, they're really great points to finish on, is be vulnerable and build trust in yourself and in other women as well.
Mm-hmm.
Find the support, find the circle that you can share, and also that to learn to ask for help as well. Is there anything else that you want to add before we finish up, Jill? I'll give you connections and everything in a moment.
Yeah. If anybody is in the area, and we do have people coming from all over to go to the retreat, but it's the 26th, 27th and 28th of May. Now, mm-hmm. ticket sales have actually closed except for the day passes, which are $99, and that's arriving at 8 a.m. and leaving at 5 p.m., so you have to bring your own lunch, but you can go to any of the workshops, any of the presentations or activities, and there's anything from dancing to flower crown making to amazing life transforming workshops, and just to hang out with amazing women as well. Wow.
So where are you holding that?
It's at Kindillin Outdoor Education Centre in Redland Bay.
Okay.
So it's about 30 minutes from Brisbane and about maybe 45 from the Gold Coast.
Okay. This will go to air, I think, just before the event, so about a week before. Normally it's a bit hard sometimes when I know when the podcasts go to air, but that probably will. So what's the website address then for people to get in contact?
Yep, redtentaustralia.org. And we also, of course, have a Facebook page for the main Red Tent Australia, but each one of the branches has their own page as well. So chances are there'll be one in an area near you. And if there's not, come to the facilitator training. So the facilitator training is July 8th and 9th at Redland Bay at our home base. And we're looking to open tents in areas like Tamworth, Port Macquarie, Coffs Harbour, can't remember, but we've got a list of places that mm-hmm. we've got people who are inquiring nearly every day if there can be a red tent in their neighbourhood, and so we want to train facilitators up in those areas and other areas as well. But the facilitator training is you have to go through an interview process and stuff to be accepted to that.
So there's going to be red tents just turning up, opening up all around Australia. I'm looking forward to speaking to you in 12 months' time, and we've gone to 22 to hundreds. It's a bit like the KFC franchises popping up, but this is a lot healthier and mentally, physically.
What we like to liken ourselves to is when you drive into a town and it says, welcome to Redland Bay or wherever, and it's got that sign, and it's got the Lions Club and the Rotary and the RSL, all of which are, usually a lot of men, that there's the red tent as well. So if you are looking to buy a house in an area, oh, look, there's a red tent here. Fabulous. Let's buy a house here. That feeling of, oh, great, like-minded women gather here.
And just getting the information out through podcasts and something like this, an opportunity for people to, hear what it's about and the benefits of being a member of the Red Tent and just checking it out. So that's redtentaustralia.org. And
that's it.
I'm sure it's got all the contact information.
Yeah. And we're just warming up now. And then remembering that we're a volunteer run organization. So sometimes the website is a little bit behind. But yeah, so we are always looking for help as well.
Fabulous. We might, on this recording, that someone might just be ready to join who is also brilliant on the web, who can do some work there, because you just asked for help. That's fantastic. Look, I have really, really enjoyed our conversation, Jill.
Me too.
And I've been looking forward to this for the last couple of weeks. And I just think what you're doing and then what you're offering to the women in the community and women, because I know the women in business as well with the other group is.
Actually, can I just do one more shout out?
Sure.
Opportunity to meet you on Saturday morning
at
Bayside Red Tent. Yes, 9:30 on Saturday morning.
This might be live by then.
It might be live. All right. Well, we had a wonderful time, didn't we?
Yes, but it's an opportunity. That's right. To just let people know that we have, you have speakers and you have amazing, brilliant, just terrific speakers.
I'm sure that this won't be the only time that they'll be able to come and meet you in the Red Tent, Janine.
No.
We're not letting you go.
I'm really looking forward to learning more about it and being more connected. It was all meant to be. So thank you very much, Jill. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And that was with Jill Jennett from The Red Tent.
Happy Please rest enjoy. Of your birthday, Janine.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. It's been a great day, actually. So it's all good. Lovely speaking with you, Jill, and look forward to presenting on Saturday.
Thank you. Bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.